The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chappell.
1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection, with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their children's, ruling their children and their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree, that means a good reputation, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And now if you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, meaning whole or mature, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful occasion, as we have concurred and agreed with the Holy Spirit's calling on the life of Brother Josh Tanner. And now, Lord, we pray that you would bless these moments as we consider this emphasis on being a man of God, thoroughly furnished. And as we challenge Brother Tanner, may we receive the challenge from your word in our own hearts. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Not long ago, I heard a Christian individual ridiculing the term man of God, using it in somewhat of a cynical light, as if to say, there's no such thing as a man of God. The Bible, however, speaks of the fact that there are men who, because of their life, because of God's having made a difference in their life, are known as a godly man or a man of God. And the Bible says here that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. God has given this book to us so that as we apply its truth to our lives, we might have a life that is set apart and distinct, so that people would see us not as a man of the world, but as a man of God, a man after God's own heart. And I believe that every Christian man should endeavor to be such a man of God, one of God's men, a vessel set apart unto honor. And so in the previous scripture reading, the Bible says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Tonight we have laid hands on such a man who desired, who sensed a godly call and desire to the office of the bishop or the pastor or the overseer. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. The gift that was given by God, it was given by the prophecy of God, and it was accompanied with the laying on of the hands. The gift and the calling does not come with the laying on of our hands. The calling comes from the Holy Spirit, the laying on of our hands, again, in agreement with the Holy Spirit, and as the church agreeing with God, separating this one, even as in Acts chapter 13, the Bible tells us that after prayer and fasting, Paul and Barnabas, they laid hands on them, and they sent them away, and the church is not to be known simply for its seating capacity, but by its sending capacity. Are we sending people out into the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? And here tonight is such a man who has yielded to the call to be that man of God, to be that overseer, that bishop in a local New Testament church. Tonight, Brother Tanner, I challenge you with just a few final thoughts. First of all, we think tonight of the preparation of the man of God. This matter of preparation does not end now that you've been ordained. The fact of the matter is you've had a wonderful Christian education and graduated from Lancaster Baptist High School and then West Coast Baptist College. You've worked in a wonderful church these last few years. But there must continually be training of the heart, continual preparation for the day ahead, and continual preparation for the Lord's day. One of the things you'll find as a senior pastor is that Sunday's always coming. There's always that new message, that new Sunday morning, that new Sunday night. Besides the many other things, Sunday is always coming. Your life will be a life preparing for the next day and for the next Lord's day. And your life will be a life keeping your heart right with God. Leadership begins with who we are, not with what we do. And one thing that you must determine now is that when you stand behind the sacred desk to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you have prepared your own heart and that you are legitimately walking with God in your life. You have prepared your heart, not just the message, but your life for the preaching of the Word of God. The priority of the preparation is important because of what we have read in the Scriptures tonight. The Bible is very clear that if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. But that bishop then must be blameless. Your heart must be prepared. The husband of one wife, your family must be prepared. Your testimony must be prepared. Your life must be a life that is disciplined and prepared for the work of Almighty God. One that ruleth well his own house. You see, the fact is tonight that God has given to you family requirements. God has given to you social requirements, that you would pay your bills, that you would give generously, that you would be careful in the way of finances, that you would be careful in the way of child rearing. It's interesting, Brother Josh, but there are many, many men tonight in our church that if they lost their family tragically in the next few weeks, they lost their wife or their children became unruly, they would not necessarily lose their job. That's not really an issue at Lockheed. Lots of men have personal troubles, but they keep their job. Not really an issue at the sheriff's station. Not really an issue in other vocations. But with the holy calling of God upon your life, the Bible says that you must prepare your heart and your life and your family, and you must prepare yourself as much as you prepare those messages, because the fact is, if you lose your family, you lose your ministry. And so life for you is a life of preparation. Preparation of the heart. Preparation not just of the message, but preparation of the heart. Years ago, a wise pastor said to me, the church is Christ's bride, not yours. They can get another pastor, but you can't get another wife. God has called you first to be a man of God with Him. Secondly, with your family. Thirdly, with your testimony. It's a life of preparation, preparing your life to be a life that is biblical, a life that pleases the Lord. And I think about the priority of preparation, and I challenge you to prepare your heart, prepare your family, prepare your testimony, and to continually grow in those areas. But what is the process of this preparation? How can all of us tonight continually grow so that our testimony is the testimony of a man or woman of God? What are some things that Brother Tanner needs in his daily disciplines, and that's some things that all of us need in our daily disciplines, not just pastors, not just deacons, but every single one of us. And so I challenge you tonight, Brother Tanner, as well as the entire church. First of all, that preparation process, if we're going to live according to 1 Timothy 3, which will not take the time to expound all of 1 Timothy 3, but if we're going to live according to it, first of all, that preparation must take place through prayer, through a daily time of prayer. Mark 1:35 says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed." The psalmist said, "Search my heart and try me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me." Every man, every woman of God is sensitive to the fact that without God's help and without seeking God's face, we cannot do the work that God has called us to do. And the preparation process must involve a prayer life with the Lord, personally, early in the morning, yes, throughout the day, but marked times where you will pray. Pray for yourself. Not a day goes by that I don't pray that God would fill me with His Spirit, fill me with wisdom, help me to die to self, as Dr. Goetz just preached. And then I begin to pray for myself, my family, my children, then our church family, praying through the church directory. The pastor's process of preparation is a process of prayer. And I challenge you, Brother Tanner, to begin with an earnest heart of prayer for the Hallmark Baptist Church, and for the pastor of the church, and for the people. And then, of course, you must understand the process involves study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. W.A. Criswell years ago wrote a book, and the book he challenged young preachers to give their mornings to God. And I have found in my life that the morning hours are when I think better. Late at night, I don't think as well. And I want to give the Lord, as a pastor, my best hours in prayer and study. And I like to spend my mornings with God, and I want to challenge you to find that time that's best for you and make sure that you're opening up the Word of God and studying the Word of God and cross-referencing the Word of God and having the library that you'll need and developing the message that the people will need. And so the process of becoming a man of God takes place through prayer and Bible study. Let me say quickly, it will take place through trials as well. There will come trials in the ministry. James 1 and verse 3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." The Bible is clear that trials will come, but this is a part of the preparing of a man of God. And then I want you to think secondly tonight, Brother Josh, about the progression of the man of God. The progression of the man of God. You see, the Bible says that if you desire the office of a bishop, you desire a good work. But along the way, you're going to find that you'll progress as a man of God. You'll grow as a Christian, as a husband, as a pastor. And I want you to think for just a moment about some of that progression. Sometimes we think about the risks of the ministry, and there are some of those risks. And certainly, we live in a day when over 1,500 pastors a month are leaving the ministry. Challenges, I'll not read them all, but there are sometimes suffocating expectations, and there's dwindling public confidence in the office of the pastor. There's a dysfunctional society where people have had issues at the last church and with the last authority figure and the last relationship, and those are sometimes carried into the church, and it's a continual cycle. And there are many different risks and challenges that are unique to this particular day. We minister in a very wicked society. The Bible says in Matthew 24:12, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Interesting verse. But because there's so much iniquity abounding, even many good people sometimes will grow cold toward the things of God. And we see that often in our society today. We see spiritual persecution. The Bible says in Acts 14:19, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." You go through the New Testament and you'll find time and again the opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:23, "Who when he was reviled, reviled not again," speaking of Jesus. "When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." Josh, I'm not trying to be negative tonight, but I want you to know the devil doesn't want one more soul saved in Austin, Texas. He's going to fight it every single step of the way. I remember my first few days here, we pulled up in front of the church down at Lancaster Boulevard, and we had a sign out front that said, "Community Church, Lancaster Community Church," and there were several churches using the old building. We took that sign out, and I went and got a sign that said Lancaster Baptist Church, and I put it in. I was so proud of it. I told Mrs. Chapel, I said, "This city's going to know that there's an old-fashioned Baptist church right in the heart of town." And we had that sign. I came back the next day. Someone had thrown rocks through the sign. I got another sign, got it fixed. That weekend, we had set up a little sound system. I was preaching from a little sound system, and I was so proud. We only had about 30 people in church, but we were going to blast them out for the glory of God. Amen? So proud of that sound system. And that weekend, someone stole the sound system. They went down into my little study where I had my fresh ordination certificate recently hung on the wall, and they had thrown the ordination certificate down and had poured Kool-Aid all over the ordination certificate and over my library. And the devil was giving a very clear message to me as a 24-year-old pastor that it wasn't going to be all smooth sailing in the early days as we began Lancaster Baptist Church. I got home recently from a vacation, and I called in the office a few times, Mrs. Furso, a godly secretary, and I said, anything I need to know, everything's fine, Pastor, everything's fine. Got back on Monday, and she was going through some different things with me, and she said, and I told you everything was fine, she said, but there are a few things here you might want to see. And so many wonderful people will say, welcome home, and so many wonderful people, thank you for the message, but then there were several messages that were laced with cursing and criticism. Not everyone's going to appreciate the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not everyone will appreciate a pastor who still believes that marriage is between a man and a woman. Not everyone's going to appreciate a fundamental interpretation of the Word of God. But the Word of God is clear that God, through these times, will progressively develop you as a man of God. And though there may be challenging days, I want to remind you that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Sometimes it's just the care of the ministry. Paul said, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, all the care of the churches. The progression will involve risks. But I want to tell you, the progression will involve rewards. There's risk, there's faith, but there's great rewards to the man of God. And I'm not speaking about bigness or the world's idea of success. Someone said, don't confuse fame with success. Madonna is one, Helen Keller is the other. And a lot of times today, people are looking for fame, but God is calling you to biblical success. And the rewards of the ministry are many. One of the rewards will be to grow in the grace of God. To grow in the grace of God. To grow as a man of God. The will of God will never leave you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And God's grace will be there for you. I think of the second great reward in ministry is the souls of men. There's nothing like seeing someone come to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. There's nothing greater than seeing a sinner turn to Christ and be saved. Oh, what a tremendous, tremendous blessing. I think of the establishment of a church. Just to see a church coming together, to see God at work. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Paul said, I'll tell you what my joy is. My joy is going to be that when Jesus Christ comes, there's going to be people with me that I have seen saved in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a great reward to see people saved. To see a church established, to see spiritual fruit. Paul said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Spiritual fruit. I think of the souls of men, the establishment of the church, the spiritual fruit. And then I think of the reward of Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 3:14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And I want you to remember that there will be days when people will remember you, and I trust your deacons will remember the special days in your life, your birthdays, your anniversaries, and things of that nature. There'll be times when people completely forget, but God never forgets. God is always faithful, and He'll be faithful to you. The preparation of a man of God is not something that you just go to college and then that's it. It's an ongoing process. The progression of the work of God is risk and reward, but believe me tonight, Brother Tanner, the reward far outweighs the risk in God's work. And then I want you to think finally with me tonight about the preaching of the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Brother Tanner, there are many things a pastor is required to do, and many biblical offices, the Bible speaks of them, and we know God has called you to be a teacher, didaskalos. God has called you to be an elder, one that is presiding in the deliberative assembly. God will call you to do many other functions in the sense of being an overseer as the under-shepherd, Acts 20:28. But we also know that God has called you primarily to be the preacher in that assembly, to be the one that stands and proclaims the Word of God. D. Martin Lloyd Jones said to me, "The work of preaching is the highest and most glorious calling to which anyone can ever be called. The most urgent need in the Christian church today is preaching. There is nothing like it. It is the greatest work in the world, the most thrilling, the most exciting, the most rewarding, the most wonderful. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like preaching." I can think back over the years how God has blessed the preaching, and in the early days, doing the best I could, standing up wondering how it would go and saying, "Lord, I don't know how to preach very well, but I'll put a lot of verses in here." And God has taken the verses of His Word and the preaching of His Word, and God has blessed the preaching of His Word, and God has done a great and a mighty work. And I want to challenge you, Brother Tanner, to stand up in the power of the Spirit, and not just to share, and not just to rap, and not just to discuss, but preach the Bible to the church. Stand up and proclaim the Word of God and give the answers of the Word of God. Preach the Word of God. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We read that a moment ago, 1 Timothy 3:16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Here's the gospel. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory, where He is at the right hand of the Father right now. Preach the gospel, Brother Tanner. Oh, preach the whole counsel of God, but never be ashamed of preaching the gospel. Every Sunday, preach the gospel. Every day, share the gospel. Do your best to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And oh, how we need gospel preaching in this hour. The preparation of the man of God, that never ceases. It's ongoing. The progression of the work of God will take place as you grow, risk, and reward. The preaching of the Word of God is the primary calling upon your life. You may share with others, you may have guest speakers, but God has sent you to a church to be the preacher in that church and to stand and proclaim the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tonight, as a church family, we commend you to the grace of God. Tonight, we rejoice in the calling of God upon your life. I think about so many young men in this church tonight. I was pleading with some young men this summer that they not make all their decisions about what they're going to do while they're 16 and 17. That they not sign agreements and make big decisions. I hope you heard what Brother Josh said, that he's about 18 or 19 when he surrendered to be a preacher. And he followed some counsel and said, "I'll at least give God that opportunity to touch my heart." And during that first year of Bible college, he surrendered to the call to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something tonight. There are many noble things, and many wonderful men in this church do a lot of different things. But listen, if God perchance would give you the opportunity to spend every day of your life preparing to, and many days of your life preaching the Word of God, it's a wonderful thing to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And tonight, Brother Tanner, we rejoice with you. And we thank God for the calling of God upon your life. And pray that He will use you mightily as you preach His wonderful gospel. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, tonight we're so thankful for a young man who has been called to preach. And the privilege we've had to have a small part in his life. And we thank you that tonight you have given us, all of us, the calling to be men and women of God. That we as men and women of God would be thoroughly furnished, that we also would progress in our growth, and that we would share in the preaching of the gospel, the sharing of the good news. So Lord, help us to apply this service to our lives. Help us not to sit here and say, "Well, I hope Brother Tanner heard all that." But help us to think in terms of how can we be the men and women of God that we need to be.